this morning we're going to be talking about this topic, worship matters. And perhaps you have been following along with this series. Once a month we've been looking at things that matter. We've been talking about different things. And this morning we're going to look at worship. And this will be a broad overview. We won't dig down into the nitty-gritty details of a lot of things, which we could do for every element of worship that we participate in. But this morning, we'd like to address it in a broader way. And we'd like to start off with Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, oh, that you would hear His voice. And then notice three things in regard to the psalmist's expression. First of all, he details the correct object of our worship. It is Yahweh, God, the great I Am, who is the Maker. He is our Creator. Notice, secondly, the correct attitude of worship that he talks about. Let us worship, bow down, kneel before Him. And then the correct action. Oh, that you would hear His voice. We've got to listen to God's voice when it comes to worship. We've got to have the right object of worship, the right attitude of worship, and the right action in worship. And as we think about this verse here, we see that it's complemented in the New Testament as well. John 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. And again, we have God, the right object of worship. We have the correct attitude of worship, worship that is in spirit, and we have the correct action, worship that is according to truth. And you see, consistently then, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, God wants people to recognize these great truths about worship. The definition of worship, as we find it in the dictionary, is the reverent love and allegiance accorded to deity, or the honor or reverence given to a divine being. The translators of the Greek language talked about worship being obeisance to the gods or their images. And the idea of worship in the New Testament is that those soul actions in which the Christian engages so as to specifically show reverence, obeisance, and honor unto God and His Son, Jesus the Christ. And so the New Testament has some specific things to say about worship. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. Looking at the correct object of worship, the correct attitudes of worship, and the correct actions in worship. Worship matters. And it matters how we worship and who we worship and what we do in worship. So let's think about those things for a few minutes this morning. First of all, who we worship matters. It makes a difference. And we need to worship God. But let's think about a couple of other things first. First of all, we are not the object of worship. Some look at worship as just a kind of a self-help resource. I come to worship to make myself feel better or to engage in mental activity or something like that. Many comfort themselves thinking of thoughts of guardian angels and God taking care of them in this world and in this life, and that's what they want to get out of worship. And when you think about those kinds of thoughts, who are we really worshiping when we think that way? Are we really worshiping God, or are we really worshiping ourselves? The Bible talks about those who would engage in worship of angels, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. And really, when you think about it, it's not angels that they're worshiping, it's themselves that they're worshiping, because they want to put themselves ahead of God. And thinking about self alone in worship is not going to cut it. We need to be thinking about God when we are worshiping Him. Some may view worship as a form of personal entertainment. That is, well, I like to go to worship because it's a time for me to be entertained. It's something to do. Well, that's not what worship is about either. The psalmist writes in Psalm 96 and verse 9, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him, all the earth." When we come to worship God, it's supposed to be with a holy attitude, an attitude that's set aside, a way that we're going to approach God with reverence and awe. Holy worship is sanctified when we are worshiping and expressing ourselves to the object of our worship, who is God. When we think about worship, we should not be thinking about it as just a way of self-expression. So much gets pawned off as worship in the world today under the category of self-expression. Oh, and I want to use my ability and my talent and my things that I can do to worship God. Well, God does not need us to, quote-unquote, express ourselves in worship. That is, in this sort of selfish way, this way of thinking of me and what I need above that of God. Paul made this clear in Acts 17, 23 through 25, when he was walking through Athens and he saw all of these idols that were created, and he saw one to the unknown God. And he said, "Whom therefore you worship ignorantly, him I declare unto you." God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. You see, God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need us to express ourselves to worship and thereby justify some kind of self-worship. That's not what God wants. The object of our worship is not our fellow man either. Some exalt and worship men falsely. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4 talked about those who would come in the future and oppose and exalt themselves above all that is called God or that is worshipped. And they would sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's false worship. That's not what God wants. He doesn't want us to elevate men. I am not an object of worship. The elders are not an object of worship. Even angels, as we'll see, are not objects of worship. Men should not be venerated and worshiped and bowed down to and glorified. Men are the creation. God is to be worshiped. Some view worship to keep peace in the family. Oh, I'm going to go to worship because my family goes there and I want them to be happy with me. That's not worshiping God. That's worshiping men. Psalm 22 verse 27 says, "All the families of the nations or the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee." God wants families to worship him, yes, but not simply because they are family, but because of who he is. Some view worship as a big social club, thinking that they are there to make the rules and the regulations and have a good time in this sort of social club that we have as the church. That's not what the church is. It's the body of Christ. It belongs to God. It belongs to Christ. It's to serve his purposes. Matthew 15 verse 9, Jesus said that those who try to do that worship in vain. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men. Again, some view worship as a way to just to help with earthly problems. If worship is just about helping people, then why do the angels worship God? It's not just about helping people. It's more than that. It is about God. All the angels of God worship him, Hebrews 1 verse 6 says. And so The object of worship is not self, it's not our fellow man. What is the object of worship? The object of worship is God. It matters who we worship. We must worship God. He is deserving of our worship. He is worthy of our worship. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Psalm 99 and verse 5. And nothing else is deserving of worship other than the Lord. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10 when he said to Satan, "Get thee hence, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Only God is worthy of worship. In Revelation 22, 8 and 9, John fell down before the feet of an angel. And the angel said to him, "Don't do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God." Worship God. That's what the angel said. Nebuchadnezzar made this confession in Daniel 3 and verse 28. "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." We must worship God and God alone. He is the object of our worship, and it matters who we worship. But then secondly, how we worship matters. We've got to worship with the right attitude or with the right spirit. We are not here just to get our ticket punched, just to say, "Oh, I made it to worship today. Great. I can punch my ticket and that's done for the week, and now I can go on to something else," as if that's just kind of a list of things that I must do or something like that. Micah talked about that attitude in Micah 6 and verses 6 through 8. Some were asking, well, what do you want us to do, Lord? Do you want us to come before you with a thousand rams or 10,000 rivers of oil or give my firstborn? Is that what you want, God? Is that what you want for me?" And the Lord said, no, that's not what I want. "Look, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" Notice God's focus is on the attitude here. Justice and mercy and humility. God wants us to look inward when we worship and think about how we are doing what we are doing and what we are doing. Our worship is not to show our superior righteousness. Colossians 2, verses 20 through 23 talks about how that we're dead with Christ to the rudiments of the world, that is, to these elements of the world that some people take and grab hold of and say, "Aha, look at me, I'm more righteous than you are because of this." And he uses this, and Paul is explaining why this is not the right way. All of those things of the commandments and doctrines of men, they are a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So those physical elements that we engage in, if we're just doing those things from the perspective of trying to show off or trying to show how righteous we are, that's not the right attitude. That's not why we're here. We are supposed to be focused on spiritual matters. If we're risen with Christ, we need to seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of the throne of God. Set your affection on the things that are above, not on things on the earth. That's how we need to be thinking when we are worshiping. Our attitude needs to be correct. It must be the attitude of one who is falling down before the Lord Almighty, recognizing that he is the true ruler of my life, recognizing that he is the one who is in control, recognizing that he brings everything to me that I have. We are to be filled with faith when we're worshiping God. It's to be a time when we allow ourselves to fill up on spiritual matters and to engage in this worship that is belonging to our one true Lord and ruler. The Hebrew writers say it like this: having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That is the most holy place where God is. We enter into that place when we worship before Him. And this is by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a priest over the house of a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, it's about our attitude in worship and what we are thinking and how we are feeling toward God. We need to be in control of those things. Our spirit, our heart. That's what we're talking about here when we talk about how we worship matters. The focus is to be on spiritual things, not on worldly things, not on earthly things. And our attitude is to be one of a broken and contrite spirit. When we come before God, we need to humble ourselves before Him. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, You will not despise. Psalm 51 and verse 17. Look at Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite one. Who dwells with God? Who lives with God? Who gets to worship God? Those who have a humble spirit. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What manner of house will you build for me? And what place shall be my rest? For all these things my hand has made and all these things came to me, says the Lord. But to this one or this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembles at my word. There's the attitude that God is looking for in worship. And then finally this morning, as we think about God, it matters who we worship, and that is God. It matters how we worship, and that is with the right attitude. It matters the things we do in worship. The acts of worship that we do matter as well. And why is that? Because God wants us to do things according to His desires. If we're coming to worship doing what we want, what humanity desires, what is my will, are we really worshiping God? Or are we worshiping self? You see, that's the great challenge of worship, is to remove self from the picture entirely and to just focus on God. If we're just coming here to think about our own situation, our own problems, just who, what we are, and doing it our way and the way we think it should be done, then we're not worshiping God. We need to worship God the way He wants us to worship Him. And that's why these acts of worship matter. It makes a difference, the things we do in worship. Because those things are either things that God wants, or they're things that man wants. And if they're things that man wants, we're not really worshiping God. So when we come together to worship, we sing. We sing without the accompaniment of mechanical instruments of music. God doesn't want that. He has not authorized that. He has not said, play instruments to me in worship, to Christians. He has not told us to do that. What has He told us to do? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody. Where? With your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5 verse 19. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Can you teach and admonish by strumming on a guitar? You cannot. Can you teach and admonish by plunking a piano? You can't. How do you teach and admonish? By saying words. That's the only way to do it. And so we must be engaged in saying those words, singing spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. James 5 and verse 13. And so we sing in worship. That's what God wants. Anything else is what man wants. And when we do what man wants, we're not worshiping God, we're worshiping man. We pray to the Lord. Philippians 4 verse 6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And there is certain people that God wants us to use in public worship. Men are to be the leaders. And that's why he says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, and that men are to be the leaders in worship. God wants things to be done a specific way. And if we will honor him, we will do those things in the way that we'll worship him. If we refuse to honor God, then we won't be worshiping God. Giving matters. And when we give, we are giving to God. I know that sometimes all kinds of politics enter into the thoughts and minds as we give, but we've got to remove all of that out of our mind. We're not giving to the preacher. We're not giving to the specific agenda, so to speak. We're not giving for this particular project of one kind or another. We're giving to God. That's who we're worshiping. And then God has said, okay, if you give to me, then I will appoint some men who will manage that and do the right things with it. But our giving, when we give, is to God. And that's who we need to have in mind when we're giving. Giving is to God. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 9, 7 and 8 also. Every man to give according as he is purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We give to God. Giving is an act of worship. Singing, praying, partaking of the Lord's Supper. Jesus established that in Matthew 26, 26 through 29, with his disciples the night before he was betrayed. He said, take, eat, this is my body, regarding the bread and regarding the cup. He gave thanks and he said, drink all of you. Drink of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus established that. He wants us to remember his body and his blood and the death that he died when we partake of that supper. Paul reiterated these points in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. He received of the Lord that which he also delivered to the church. And that is, we are to give thanks for the bread and the body of Jesus Christ. Give thanks for the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are to do this regularly in remembrance of him. On every first day of the week, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the New Testament practice. And that is what we must do as well. Singing, praying, giving, partaking of the Lord's Supper, and engaging in this time of learning, preaching, studying the Word of God. Acts chapter 10, verse 42 says that he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And in Acts 20, verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, preaching, partaking of the Lord's Supper, singing, praying, giving. Those are all things that we need to do when we come together on the first day of the week as God's people. And we will be worshiping God as He has told us to worship in His holy word. Anything that is beyond that is an act of man. And we've got to wonder, who are we worshiping if we are not satisfied with what God has given us in His holy word? Worship matters. It is important who we worship. It matters who we worship. We must worship God, not self, not our fellow man, but God. It is important how we worship, with the right attitude, an attitude of humility, an attitude of learning and growing, an attitude of submission to the Lord. And it is important what we do in worship. Those acts of worship that we do matter. We must do things according to the Lord's will, or else we are just worshiping ourselves. Let's remember that worship matters. And let's seek to do things according to the Lord's will in our worship. Maybe this morning you have heard something that sparks an interest in your mind regarding worship and regarding the idea that we are to worship God and put Him first within our lives. And this is the mindset of the disciple of Jesus Christ. God comes first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And this morning, maybe you realize you need to put God first in your life. You realize the importance of putting God first in worship, but you haven't ordered your life yet. You can do that today. There is a message that Jesus has for you to hear, and He wants you to obey it. That message of salvation, which is to believe in Him and His word, repent of your sins, confess Him as your Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. If you will do that, you can put things in the right order and begin to serve God and worship God acceptably as your Creator. And why not make that choice this morning to become a child of God? Or maybe you need prayers to bring you back to the place you need to be in worship to the Lord. A place of humility, a place of doing things according to the Lord's will, a place of not focusing on self or what our desires are, but focusing on God. And you want to request those prayers this morning, you can do that. Or maybe you have another need in your life. You can ask for help in those areas as well. Whatever your need may be, you can come and make it known while together we stand and while we sing.